Thank you, Lord. Well, if you want to turn to Psalm 103 this evening, we're going to just thought it fitting. We're just going to go through Psalm 103 and just focus on that tonight. You know, it's looking at Thanksgiving tomorrow and just reflecting. Psalm 103 is just packed. It's one of my favorites. It's so many things in here, but we're just going to go through it and just to reflect a little bit. Remind ourselves of all the benefits that there are to being His children and to serving Him. Thank you, Lord. Everybody there? Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Now we could just stop right there. And we will stop many times, but right there. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." You know, some days you just need to say that to yourself. Our flesh wants to go in certain directions. Our mind sometimes, I mean, it gets distracted by the cares of this world. We have just, the world is, for the most part, not focused on God, not focused on Him. Probably when you went to your job today, if you did, people weren't singing praises to God. They probably weren't coming up and saying, "Glory to God, isn't it a great day?" They probably weren't telling you those type of things. You might have heard other things come out of their mouth. You know, if you drove in traffic today, you might have seen other things and people getting mad and people honking or whatever. The world is not reminding us of the benefits that we have in God. They're not even reminding us that there is a God. In fact, a lot of it's going the opposite way, almost making it so that if you do believe in God, you're made to feel uncomfortable. And so we aren't reminded to bless God. Our mind is constantly getting contaminated, or you were tempted to get contaminated. We have to watch what comes in our ear gate and our eye gate. You have to be careful. Now, some of it you can't control. Like I said, you know, if we're at work, we see certain things. You just have to filter that and just let it roll off our back. I mean, then we have an opportunity to put certain things in. We can control what we watch on TV. We can control what music we listen to and so forth. And we ought to keep that focused on Him. But there are going to be things in the world that are going to try to take our attention off Him. And sometimes we just need, actually a lot of the time, we just need to tell ourselves where to focus. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with me in me, bless His holy name." Sometimes you're going to feel like complaining. All of us feel like complaining. Sometimes we feel like looking at the negative things. We feel like just letting our mouth go. I mean, even if you got up on the right foot and you had time with God and you were pumped up, sometimes by the end of the day, if you've had a rough day at work or there's pressures or whatever, you're ready to just let it out your mouth, or even, you know, just say things that you know you're not, you shouldn't say. You know that it's wrong, but you're pressured to start saying the wrong thing. And sometimes at those point, we just have to say, "No, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Don't look at this junk that you've been hearing. Don't look at the junk that's been coming through. Just tell yourself what to do. We all feel like complaining sometimes. If you're a human, you're going to feel like that sometimes. You're going to feel like having a pity party sometimes. You're not going to get past the place where you're ever tempted. As long as you have a body, as long as you live in this physical world, you're going to be tempted to give in to the wrong things. But just because you're tempted doesn't mean you missed it. So the devil will try to trick us and make us think, well, you know, you're having those thoughts. You're a bad person or you're wrong. That's not true. Just because we're tempted to do something is not the same thing as doing it. Just because we're tempted to let the wrong words out of our mouth at that point, that's when we say, "No, but bless the Lord, O my soul." You're not going to let that stuff out of your mouth. Just praise Him. Start putting our focus back on Him. That's what we're doing this evening, is just putting our focus on Him. Just reminding ourselves of all that He's done. We better keep moving. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." You know, we're on Thanksgiving. That's just a time to thank God for all He's blessed us with, all He's brought us through, and every one of us has something to be thankful for. I don't care what has gone on in our life. I don't care how rough the year is. He has done things for us. If you have to go all the way back to, I'm saved. If in the natural, everything does not look that good. You know, naturally speaking, you're like, I don't know what I could pin on. You can go, if you have to back all the way up to, I'm saved. Thank God He shed His blood for me. We still have something to be thankful for. And if we'll just get back to what we know we can be thankful for and stay there, we can make the other things look less important. They may have been look big in our life, but we can come back to say, but Jesus Christ has died and shed His blood for me. So regardless of what's going on in this earth, I know this earth, this lifetime is like the blink of an eye. And for eternity, I'm going to spend in His presence. So I can be thankful for that. Thank God there are many mansions in heaven, the Bible says. I can look at that. I can get my eyes where they're supposed to be. That doesn't mean that we have to just look at everything in heaven. No, we can have benefits here on this earth, but sometimes we're tempted to start looking when things aren't going right, and so we can say, no, that same God, we can back up to that place and then move forward and say, and He has promised us good things in this earth. Verse 3. So it says in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. Thank God for that. He forgives all your iniquities. The next part of that verse, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. These are all benefits of God, of serving Him. Let's run through that list just real quick again. Sometimes this is just a good portion of Scripture, just even the verses 2 or even 1 through 5, just to remind ourselves with, and even into verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Sometimes we just have to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget. You're tempted to forget right now that God has benefits. Don't forget them, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with evil. No, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Good things. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Our youth is renewed. Man, all of us are going to go on to be with Him one day, but we don't have to get decrepit and sick and go on to be with Him. We don't have to die of anything specific. Do you know that? We can just live out our days because we all have a certain number of days on this earth. We're not going to live forever. Just because you live without sickness and disease does not mean you're going to live forever. No, we can just be like the patriarchs where we go on and live and we're fine. And then one day we wake up and we're talking to God and He says, you know, you can come home today if you want. Okay, that sounds good. You can gather your family into, like, you know, they did Old Testament. You saw that a number of times where they gathered their family in, grandchildren, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and say, today I'm going home to be with my God. Say, you know, leave them with a good report. Encourage them, bless them. Pull your feet up into the bed and leave. Go home. Your spirit leaves your body. At that point, your body, just like a glove over a hand, when the hand's, you know, removed from the glove just goes limp. And that's all our spirit is right now. Our body's just like a glove over a hand. It's not the real us. We're animating it. But once your spirit's gone, this is just a machine. It's just organic machine. It's just a very complex, advanced machine. That's all it is. And it goes limp and dies. Because the life isn't there anymore. Because the Spirit's life. But our youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, over in Psalm 91, Let's go over to Psalm 91 real quick. Just hold your finger in Psalm 103. Thank you, Lord. Another excellent psalm. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to Psalm 91, verse 14. It says, because he has set his love upon me. Now this is God talking about the person that's serving him, that looks to him. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Let's just read those again. There's some things I want to bring out, but look at that. This is God saying to the person that's serving him, that loves him. This is a promise of God. What is he saying? Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he has known my name. See, these are benefits as well of knowing God and serving him. And because we've received the sacrifice of Jesus. He shall call upon me and I may answer him if I feel like it. I will answer him. Some people say, well, God just didn't hear my prayer. No, God hears every prayer when we go to him in faith, when we believe him. People come to him and just say, well, they throw up all kinds of prayers. They don't know God. They don't know what the word says. They don't know, and they're just kind of throwing stuff out there and asking. Jesus healed every person that came to him in faith, believed him. He never turned one away. Never one. Never one. Every one of them got healed. He answered. When they came to him, they were healed. When we go to him, he will answer us. And it's not no. Some people say, well, he answered, it just was no. Well, if you're asking him according to his word, he's not a liar. That'd be like saying you have a contract with somebody and you come to them based on the contract and they broke the contract and said no. When you have something in their contract that's promised. Do men? If men do that, you can take them to court. Why? Because you have a contract with them. Because they gave you their word. They signed something. And so you can, that's a binding agreement that you can press charges, you can go to court to get what was promised to you. Now God, this is a binding contract. If God has said something, you know, the contracts, written contracts are just so people, fallen, you know, men with a fallen nature, you know, not necessarily Christians, but you know, men with an earthly nature, they're so that each party understands what's going on. And we lay it down in writing so that there's no misunderstanding and so that there's legal recourse if one of them decides not to follow through. But really, if we knew the terms and we knew what we agreed on and it was a simple thing, we should just be able to say, and they used to do this in times past, they shook on it, they gave each other their word, and that was it. That was their bond. That was their contract. But today, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing because we're protecting ourselves or whatever, we have these contracts written out. But God, if he said something to him, he does not turn, he does not lie. If he's promised us something, if he's given us his word, he will do it. There is no ifs, ands, buts about it. So when he says, in Psalm 91, he says, he will call upon me and I will answer him. He means it. If we call upon him according to his word, what's he going to break his word for our one case? All heaven and the universe would fall apart if he breaks his word because it's upheld by the word of his power. It's upheld by his integrity, his character, his justice. So he shall call upon me and I will answer him. Look at this. I will be with him in trouble. That's a benefit of serving God. He said, in the middle of trouble, I'm right there with you. I will deliver him and I will honor him. That's another promise. I'll deliver him and I'll honor him. This is the reason, this next verse is why I wanted to come over here. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. See, with long life, I will satisfy him. When do you know that it's time to go home to heaven? When you're satisfied. When you've said, you know what? I've lived life. I've done what I'm called to do. I'm ready. I'm satisfied. Well, then take off. Go ahead and go home. But not till you're satisfied. It's never God's will for somebody to go home early. You know, somebody, child dies or somebody dies in their 20s or whatever. And somebody said, well, isn't that just, you know, God just saw fit to take that person. God just saw fit that he needed, you know, some child dies. Well, he needed another angel in the choir. That's how weird doctrines get set when people don't have an answer for something, and so they're trying to console the family or whatever at a funeral, and they say, well, God just needed that little girl in heaven. That's a lie. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. No. God's will was for that little girl to live out her full life. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Amen. That's a benefit of serving God. We don't have to be in fear of leaving early. The world may be in fear, but we don't have to be in fear. We have a promise from Almighty God. We're His children. We're here to do something. All of us are here to do. That's the only reason why we're here. Once we know God, we're in the family of God. The Bible says we're ambassadors here. It says we're citizens of heaven. We live on this earth, but this isn't our home. It'd be like if you were over visiting the Philippines or visiting, you know, another country. You may be a visitor there, but you're a citizen of the USA. You're just visiting. Well, we are citizens of heaven. We're just visiting earth. Why are we here? Because God gave a great commission for His word to be preached and for people to have a chance to serve Him and to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the only reason we're still here, because we've already made that decision. And so He's given us a commission. He's given us a reason to be here. So He's got something for us to do. And until we've done it and until we're satisfied, there's no reason to be afraid that we're going anywhere. Amen? That's a benefit of serving God. He said, with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. That's a promise of God. Now, why don't we go back over to Psalm 103? Thank you, Lord. These are all benefits. Man, we can just, tomorrow, when we're sitting, eating our meal, we can just be thanking. Yes, and we have our family and all these things. But whatever is in front of your eyes, you can back up to, I know God. God promised He would satisfy me and show, with long life, He would satisfy me. He said He heals all my sicknesses. He said that He forgives all my iniquities. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's skip down to verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame, and He remembers that we are dust. Now that word pities doesn't really have the connotation like what we have, what we think of pities now. When we think of pities, it's kind of like, oh, poor baby. Oh, poor baby. It's like, it's a word that would be used like if you had a dog or a cat sitting in your lap and you were just petting him or her and just kind of loving, you know, scratching their ears, just kind of, you know, snuggling that, and you're just kind of moving your hand over, petting the pet, that's pitying. It's just kind of being nice to just coddling. And what does the Bible say? As a father pities his children. You get the picture now? Pities his children. Is the father always going, oh, poor baby? Oh, poor. No. It's cradling, being kind to, loving. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Well, that's us. He takes care of us. Another benefit. Serving God, that our God is a loving Father. He looks upon us. He loves us. For He knows our frame. The margin of my Bible says He understands our constitution. He remembers that we're dust. He knows. Because He was there when we were created. He understands. He understands the things we go through. He understands the things that we're challenged with. Jesus became a man, and He was challenged. The Bible says that He was tempted just like we are, only without sin. Jesus knows what it's like to walk in a human body. And He can relate to us. He was tempted. He had those days. He had those days when maybe the Pharisees were getting on His nerves. Man, these Pharisees. I mean, He could have been like this. He could, you know, Jesus was tempted to have bad days too. Man, them guys went wherever He went. Meeting like this, you know, they'd be sitting there in the front row. They weren't friendly. They're looking for Him. Those people were looking to kill Him. They're waiting for Him to trip up so that they could kill Him. I mean, Jesus could have been like, Man, these Pharisees, they're just getting to me. Could have been talking to the disciples. God, I don't know if I can take it anymore. Everywhere I go, I'm trying to do what good. I'm trying to get the message out, and here they come again, sitting on the front row, just looking at me. I know they're wanting to kill me. Man, I don't know if I can preach tonight. I don't know, man. They got me a little off my game. I don't know if I have it tonight. I don't know. I just don't feel quite up to par tonight. You think that sounds like something He would say? No. He dealt with it, though. He dealt with it. He was in a body. He dealt with those emotions. He dealt with the feelings. But He didn't give in to it. He dealt with them, though, and that's what the Bible is saying, that God understands what we're going through. He understands right where we are. And He doesn't look down upon us, but all He wants us to do is look up, trust Him, believe those words that He's told us, believe the promises that He has, act like His word is good as a man. You know, if some man gave you his word, like what we were talking about earlier, you would insult that person. If he was a man of integrity, a woman of integrity, if you acted like what they said they didn't really mean. If they really were a person of their word and you always acted like you had to check up on them, that would be kind of a slap in the face. Well, God keeps His word. And so when He's telling us these things, all He's expecting, He understands our challenges. He just wants us to look to Him and trust Him. Because He's faithful. He's faithful. He is faithful. He has never let one single person down yet. Never. 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 He's never let one of us down. But thank God He knows us, He loves us, and He's on our side, and He understands. But He's there for us. Verse 15, as for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and it's in it, and its place remembers it no more. Man, like we were saying earlier, man, our lives just boom, over. Boom, another person over. Even if they live to be 120, nothing in light of eternity, nothing. Man, after a million years, that's going to look pretty insignificant. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. The mercy of the Lord's from everlasting to everlasting. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God that it's everlasting. Thank God it's not all on us to just do everything perfect, but His mercy is everlasting. Notice this. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children. It keeps on going. The righteousness of God. His mercy. We bring our children up. We teach them to look at Him. That righteousness, that mercy is being passed down from generation to generation. Verse 18, to such as keep His covenant and to those who remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts. You ministers of His who do His pleasure, bless the Lord all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Notice that verse 20. Bless the Lord, you His angels who excel in strength, who do His word. Hold your finger in Psalms and turn over to Hebrews. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go to chapter 1, but chapter 2, I want to read this verse. Chapter 2, verse 14. It says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same. We were just saying, Jesus Himself, He likewise shared in the same. Why'd He do that? Likewise shared in the same that through death He might destroy him who had power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him. See, He shared in the same things we're going through, but He conquered death. He walked in this earth, but He conquered it. Why? So that we could conquer it. He shared in the same thing. He went through the same temptations that were, maybe it's not the same thing we live in a later age, but the same emotions, same thing. He was tempted in all points as we are, the scripture says. Was He dealing with traffic as we knew it? No, but He dealt with the same type of emotions. Was He dealing with the same financial world that we are? No, but He dealt with the same types of issues. He was tempted in all points, but why? He overcame it. And He overcame it so that we could overcome. He did it. We don't have to suffer anything that He already suffered. He's already given us power. Now go over to verse 14 of chapter, or actually 13 of chapter 1. You still have your finger in at Psalms. In verse 13 it says, but to which of the angels has He ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Notice that. But to which of the angels has He ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth? Why? Why are the angels sent forth? To minister for those who will inherit salvation. That's us. The angels have been sent forth to minister not to us, but for us. How are they sent forth? They've been sent forth, but how do they operate? Go back to Psalm 103. Verse 20. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. So what's His word? When we've been given His word and we speak His word, you put angels to action. Those angels are ministering spirits for us. And so when we speak the word, when we say what God says, the angels go and make it happen. They are a power force. They are servants of God. When you say things into this earth, they go out and they do it. They're the servants for us. They make things happen. That's why our words are so important. You don't want to start speaking the wrong things. You bind them. They can't do anything with unbelief and things that aren't God. We want to speak the word so that they can make things happen, so that they can make things come to pass. That's a benefit of serving Him. We're His children. Thank God. They are ministering. Those powerful angels are ministering spirits for us. Verse 22, bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. We have so much to be thankful for. So much. We were talking about our identity in Christ on Sunday. So much that we have through Him. So much that we've been given. That it's ours. That we can just thank Him. We can worship Him. We can look to Him. We can look to what His Word says, regardless of what it may look like in the natural. Thank you, Lord.